You're listening to Rocket Knight.
This is Lester Chambers of the legendary Chambers Brothers. I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for caring for musicians and letting the whole entire world know we rock at night.
Well, this is Anita Stewart reporting for Rock at Night, and I am talking today, September 30th, with Betty Fox from the Betty Fox Band. And hi, Betty. Thank you for joining us at Rock at Night.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I have so many questions to ask you. We did have a photographer. Actually, Rocket Knight's editor was at the Skipper Smokehouse birthday bash,
awesome,
which just passed Saturday. So she saw your set, and she took some great pictures, and she said, let's get an interview to go with this. And I think, yeah, after reading your bio, I noticed that as I was reading this, there's a lot of church in your background, and actually that was where you started singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something to be said for having a background in gospel music, and how has that helped you along the way in developing your own style?
Well, I really believe that music is sort of God's language, and that may sound like a little bit ethereal, or I don't know, call it what you will, but I just I feel like when you're singing, when you grow up singing to God, you're able to sort of emote and really allow all of your feelings to get inside of the notes, and then they're not just notes anymore, they're, you know, like little prayers, you know, and
right.
So that, to me, I feel like is why, you know, Aretha Franklin and Mavis Staples and Al Green and, you know, even Sam Cooke and Bobby Womack, you know, they all started in the church. And I think, you know, that is sort of why, because they were allowed or grew up being able to fully emote themselves, you know, and that's what I love the most about this music, is that you're able to fully express yourself in it, you know, get along.
Now, you're called blues as the genre, and probably there's a lot of roots and Americana and jazz mixed into that, and even some rock. Is there anything I'm missing with that?
I don't know. I love soul music, and my favorite era of music is back before it was, there were so many lines drawn in between it, you know, like Tina Turner and Ike, you know, Tina and Ike Turner, they started in like soul music and blues, but then they moved and progressed more towards like rock, but there was no lines there, you know what I mean?
Right.
And the same, you know, with like Sam and Dave or like a Wilson Pickett kind of thing. He covered Hey Jude, and he also covered like some crazy rock song that I heard the other night, like Wild Thing or something like that. You know, like
there was
the lines were more blurred. For me, they're sort of blurred as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, music wasn't divided into all these different formats and subcategories and genres back then. And basically, back in the day, we listened to music on the Clear Channel because that was how you heard good music in the middle of the night. And you know, the DJs at that time would play any genre, any format. You'd hear Jimi Hendrix, and then you'd hear Al Green, and then you'd hear the Stones, and so on and so on. It was all mixed up. Have you had classical training? Did you ever delve into anything like classical music or music theory or voice lessons?
Yeah, I took voice lessons. I started voice lessons when I was like 12, and I took them all through high school, and I sang, in choir all throughout high school, and I did all those, senior high ensembles and things like that, and in church, and, just voice was like a constant component throughout my whole life. But that's
now,
something that I liked.
Yeah, your bio says you're from South Tampa. Which high school did you go to?
I went to Plant and Robinson, and then for my senior year, I moved up to Georgia, and I lived in Georgia and graduated in Marietta from Pope High School.
Uh-huh.
So I went to three different high schools. I was just kind of a little nomad my whole life. That's how it's always been.
Now, let me ask you I've got a couple of crazy questions for you. What is in the CD player right now?
Oh, no. You know what? I don't really listen to what's in my CD player, but I think, it's Beyonce. Don't judge me. Guilty pleasures. Don't judge me. That's the only one that's in there because I have an auxiliary cord that goes straight into my sound system. And it's
right.
There it is right there. Da-da-da-da-da. I don't know why I like that song so much. It's the only song I like from that album. But I listen to a lot of Wilson Pickett and Sam and Dave from my Spotify. I just stream it.
Okay, here's another crazy question. Are you in love right now or are you in lust right now?
I'm in love. Definite love. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And let me go on to the band. You're going to be doing quite a lot of public appearances over the next couple of months. What is the biggest thing that you've got that's coming up?
On October 17th, we're going to have the full horn section, and we're doing the official centennial birthday after party for the Clearwater Jazz holiday, and that'll be held on the Starlight Majesty. So we got the full horn section coming out, but that's a late night party. That's going to be from like 11 to 2 a.m. in the ticket.
Wow.
Am I allowed to say how much the tickets are?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, the tickets are like $15. I know if you're on radio, you're not allowed to say any money, so I didn't know if this was the same.
Yeah, but this is it. Yeah, this is internet. When you're on like WMNF and different radio stations, if they're nonprofit, they can't list a price, I think, is the reason. Yeah, but when you're on internet radio, kind of anything goes.
Okay.
Let me ask you about who were your biggest influences when you were young, singing the gospel music?
I really loved Tremaine Hawkins when I was growing up, and Yolanda Adams. My mom used to have this CD that she would play every morning with a live CD from a Tremaine Hawkins performance. She would always play every Sunday morning, The Potter's House. It's still one of my favorite gospel songs. But I don't know, my grandparents listened to a lot of like Gaither gospel, with the tight harmonies and the,
right.
So that's kind of, but the Gaither, there's something really strange because it's just never like really kind of reached out to me the way that soul music does.
Right.
But once I heard, somebody like Tremaine Hawkins or, that's something that has stuck with me my whole life.
What do you think about going to, the black community and going into some of their churches to hear some of the gospel music? Like, for instance, even going to, I know in my personal experience, even going to a funeral at one of these churches has the most amazing music. It's kind of like, wow, they just know how to worship the Lord or something because, I wanted to move around. I wanted to dance. And the music was just incredible. What do you think about doing that, or have you done that?
Yeah, I've done that, and I love it. Yeah, I mean, I love that music. I'll go wherever to listen to that kind of... there's something just very healing about it. It's sort of intangible and it kind of gets me and shakes me in my bones a little bit. So that's my favorite kind of music. That's what I listen to all the time.
When I first got in touch with you to do this interview, you were on voice rest, so you weren't talking for a while. And there's very few people that, you know, are serious about voice that actually do this. I know that Celine Dion does it, and there might be a few others. Tell me a little bit about what that does for your voice, and are there other things that you do to heal or regenerate your voice between shows?
Yeah. Well, we've had a really busy schedule lately, and next month is going to be really busy as well. So, you know, just as an artist, you don't want to burn out. You want to be able to be fully present and able to give your best at every show. So, and I sing really hard sometimes, and so I just have to, it's just a matter of, you know, if you work out, you got to rest your muscles, you know, for a day. You can't just work out all the time because you'll hurt yourself. So it's just a muscle, just like everything else. And, you know, I'm learning how to use it and building strength over time. And, you know, I have a really good remedy with, like, apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper and hot water that I gargle with and drink almost every night. And then after a show, I will take some ibuprofen to reduce any swelling and, you know, just make sure I take good care of it because I want to sing, you know, for the rest of my life. So.
What about, like, hot tea and lemon, or do you just use that? I mean, is that your, like, preferred drink, or do?
The hot tea, lemon is actually really acidic for your vocal cords, just so you know. It doesn't really do anything to benefit. Yeah, the hot tea works as long as it's decaffeinated, because caffeine will constrict your capillaries and cause you to have more swelling, really, in the end. You know, honey works good. Yeah, I mean, I like hot tea and honey. They have the throat coat tea and stuff like that that I'll use sometimes. But what's really worked for me is the apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper.
Right.
I use that at night because it also helps with acid reflux. So if you're up all night like I am, you have to be really careful about what you eat right before you go to sleep, or else you'll have acid reflux in your sleep, which, you know, in turn inflames the vocal cords and it's really bad. So you just have to, there's balance for everything.
Right, right. And healing is probably the most important. Now, going back to your creative side, you're writing music, and you had told me in the pre-interview that you're getting together with a full brass section, and that's what's coming up in the future. So do you expect to actually get together with the members of your band and create and write music? Are you pretty much the sole songwriter?
I am not pretty much the sole songwriter. For the first album, I almost was, you know what I mean? I came to the band and I already had a lot of the songs actually even recorded that nobody's ever even heard those recordings. Because I was going to Valencia College over in Orlando, and they have a recording program, and I had a friend who did it for free for his project, for his grade.
Right.
So I already had a lot of those songs recorded, and we just kind of revamped them. But every song comes to me differently. Most of the time, it'll be a melody in my head, or and then I'll be able to hear the chord changes, and I'll pick them out on an instrument. Sometimes the lyrics come first, and then I will pick up an instrument and I'll try to find something. And, you know, there's been a lot of times lately where I come to somebody and, like, my bass player is actually a really decent guitar player, and he'll play me something that's been going on in his mind. And that's how, like, Sweet Memories from the album was written. A friend had passed away that day. Who we had known for a really long time. And he was staying over at my place because he drives back and forth to Orlando. And if we have two shows in Tampa, he'll, you know, crash on our couch. So we were really sad about, you know, losing our friend. And we decided to write a song for him. and that's what came out. I had already had those lyrics, and but I revamped them, you know, for, yeah. So it all just comes, you know. I'm of the opinion that there's no real wrong way to write a song. As long as the music comes, you know, then, you know, you did it right.
Do you ever feel like you lose it, like you have an idea and it kind of floats in and floats out, and if you didn't write it down and you didn't act on it, it's gone forever?
Yeah. I mean, it's not gone forever. It just depends on if it's a good idea, then it'll come back to you, you know. But I record everything on my phone. Like, I'll sing whatever ideas I have in my phone. My phone is full of, like, hundreds of little snippets of songs that I haven't wrote yet.
Oh, wow. So it's just like little pieces and things that can be put together into a larger form later.
Yeah, it's cool because then you go back and you listen to the pieces and you're like, oh, this piece matches that piece. It's like a little puzzle. And then you, like, put all the pieces together and then you make sure that the format is right and you got a bridge now and, you know, all that stuff. It's just fun.
What is your, when you're actually in the creative mode, And you want to write something or you have some ideas in your head, outside of your voice, what is the first instrument you'll pick up to actually try to form some of this up?
What guitar? To write songs with?
Yeah. And do you play any other instruments besides the guitar?
I can play a mean tambourine. No, I'm just kidding. I can play a little piano. But yeah, that's mostly it. People who are better at it should play transforming.
Yeah, and do you prefer acoustical, electrical, and what's your favorite one? That's your personal one.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
When you're playing the guitar, what is your favorite one out of what you own or the one you're going to grab the most? What kind?
Well, if I'm sitting on my couch, I usually grab the acoustic because you can hear it better. But I have a really neat custom Telecaster. So I really like the way it sounds.
Uh-huh. And, actually, I've been having a lot of fun just writing stuff. I just started playing ukulele, so I've been having kind of a lot of fun with that. And I think it's Megan Trainor writes with a ukulele, and I guess she travels with one, which is kind of cool because if she's flying from place to place, she doesn't want to lug around a big guitar, so she just takes the ukulele with her when she's like on a writing, you know, a writing jaunt or something. So I thought, wow, that's cool. Yeah, well, because it's so user-friendly and it's so portable, you know, because guitars are rather big. But if you're at home and you've got that guitar handy, that's cool. But now what is next for the next album? I mean, you said you're going to have the brass section ready to go, but have you got a lot of the songs written and are you going to be doing any covers on it?
I have not decided on the covers. If I do covers, they're going to be old gospel songs that mean a lot to me. I probably will put those on the next album just because there's some songs that just resonate with me so much. There's a song called Till the Storm Passes By that when I went through a hard time when I was younger, my grandmother, who raised me basically, was one of the best women I've ever, no, seriously, was the best person I've ever known, ever. I've never met anybody like her in my life. When she got diagnosed with cancer, it was really hard for me. I was 16 and I had lost my grandfather, but it was nobody like that. She was like a mother to me. And so I used to sing this song to myself as I was falling asleep. I could sleep because I was so upset about it, I couldn't sleep. So I'll probably put that on there just because it means so much to me. And I haven't heard anybody really do it, you know, the way that I want to. So, and maybe It Is Well with My Soul, because that's one of the last songs I ever got to sing to my dad. And that's the last song I ever got to sing with my grandmother. So I'll probably put some gospel on there, most likely. and those would be the only cover songs that I would do. I have this idea for the next album that I just want to, I am going to keep it a secret, but it's going to be really cool, and it's going to feel really good, so I'm excited.
So, tell me about what you learned between the time that you recorded the first album, which was Too Far Gone in 2012, and the current album that just came out, Slow Burn, came out this year. What was the learning process between that 3-year gap there?
Oh, man, I had only had a band for like a year and a half with the first album. I mean, I've been singing for a while, but there's a whole nother phase of learning when it comes to performance and running a band, you know. So I had written a lot of those songs, and it was just kind of like, well, I want to do this for a living. I have to have a CD if I want to survive. So we did it so that I could quit my day job, so that I could make a living on music and build the band. And that is exactly what happened. So as far as the albums go, I don't want to like depress you, but I don't know. My father was diagnosed with ALS in between after the first album was recorded, and after the second one, he was diagnosed with ALS and he eventually passed away a year ago in May. So a lot of it was learning so much about writing the songs and truly allowing your spirit to. Our songs are very therapeutic for me to sing for some reason, just the way that it resonates in my body. Or there was a lot of things that I learned about singing about what I want in my life, you know, and not necessarily singing about all the pain, you know.
Right.
There's just a lot. There's a huge learning curve, personally and emotionally and musically, that came and that just comes from doing it every single day. I mean, I've been doing it 4 times a week for the last, you know, 3.5 years, and you learn something new every day, and you grow. And you know, performing all that time while I was watching my father pass away, and I had to come back that next weekend, and you know, my band has bills to pay, and I had to perform, and I just had to, you know, you develop a lot of strength in maybe just allowing the music to carry you. And I don't know if that makes very much sense to you, but it was a huge learning process for me, because I was able to use, even though it was very difficult to get up and pretend, you know, like I was okay, because you don't want people to be sad when they come to your shows. You want them to be happy. And so
so you
smile, because that's, you know, that's what you have to do in order to get through it. And but allowing the music to kind of take you over and become, you know, that best friend or that confidant. And I don't really know how else I can describe it, but that's the difference.
Well, we all know, as all of us that love music, that it's a transformative experience. And it's a healing, it's a method of healing, a mode of healing for so many of us. I mean, I'm sure that that's why so much of the music that we love and so much of the rhythm and blues and soul music came from the church, because this is what people were feeling, and this was a way that they could make it into, you know, the systems of oppression at that time. The music was a very freeing experience. So that is really cool in of itself. So
I completely agree. Love and music are the two most healing things in my life.
And I find it especially cool that music, like you can sit in a room with people that have Alzheimer's and their memories are gone. But then again, you play these songs and they don't remember anything else, but they remember the lyrics and the tune to the song, and they'll sing along. And it's really just amazing to see how music can be so healing like that. And that even if the memory's gone, those little bits of memory linger. And it's a beautiful thing. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where would you like to be?
Oh, man. You know, I don't want to sound like, yeah, I believe in dreaming big, you know, and I want to do this forever. I want to have, you know, I want to be singing until I'm dead and buried. So I'm not going to quit till I get, you know, to the top. Like, that's
right.
What it's going to be. You know, and if I never do, that's all right. I'll die trying. That's just how it is. I'm just the kind of person that doesn't really take no for an answer, and that kind of makes a way out of no way, you know?
What do you think are some of the challenges in the music industry today in regards to getting seen and getting heard?
You know, I don't know. I think it's just as challenging as any other business, you know, as far as, you know, it's weird. It's weird. The whole thing is weird because there's no rules. You know, you just do whatever you want. That's what everybody does. And there's not, like, you know, a hierarchy, and there's not, you know, there's just lots of space and room and, you know, rules to break, and nobody cares if you break them. But if you do, then it's our, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's I don't really see it as a struggle as much. I see it as a blessing. I see it as an honor, you know, to be able to play this music with the kind of people that I get to play it with. My fellas are just some of the most incredibly, not only incredibly talented players that I've ever played with or even know, but just good human beings, and they coach me and they guide me, and it's a blessing to get to be surrounded with people like that. I mean, that's really where it, I mean, a lot of times I feel like at the end of the day I'm kind of stealing when I go to get paid. I'll forget and I'll just leave without getting paid, because it's like you know, I had so much fun, you know.
Right. It's you're doing what you love, which not a lot of people on this planet get to do that, get to have that blessing. You know, and the other thing is, you have freedom as an independent artist. What do you think you'd have to give up if you were, like, maintained by one of the major labels? Do you think it would be a really serious thing of giving up your creative freedom and your license to create?
You know, I feel like a lot of times a major label will ask you to give up, like, your band, and they'll ask you to lose 10 pounds, and they'll like, because they want this cookie cutter image. And that, to me, is the most frustrating thing about the industry right now, is that people are listening with their eyes and not with their hearts. You know, I feel like it would make a lot more sense if we, you know, worshipped people who actually studied the music. And I don't want to, like, put anybody down or anything, but, you know, people like, you know, like Patti LaBelle, I mean, she's wonderful. She's obviously superstar status, but why she's not, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I respect the music, you know, more than, I don't know. I probably won't give anything up. So, you know, I probably won't maybe not get signed to a big label, because I'm not really willing to compromise. I feel like that would be like selling my soul to the devil, you know, like if I had to sing pop songs with a pop band, and if I didn't get to bring my fellas with me, and if I didn't, you know, I'd rather just stay in Florida, do what I'm doing.
Right.
If I had to sing, you know, if I had to sing bad cover tunes, I'd rather just do what I'm doing. I don't know. Like, I'm really enjoying myself, but I don't necessarily think that that is what it has to be. I think, you know, if you look at people like, I don't know, Amy Winehouse, she didn't really compromise herself at all.
Right.
You know, or Adele, you know, she didn't have to lose 1 million pounds, you know, in order to do what she's doing. I mean, you know, anybody that's in the blues, it seems like, I don't know, Diana Greenleaf, or if you look at, like, You know, it just seems like they're kind of doing what they want. You know?
Exactly.
I don't really feel like I need to compromise. Yeah.
Good for you. That's the true ethics, I think, of being a creative person within the music industry. And we are almost to the end of our time. And what would you say to other people, young people right now that are starting out in the business? Is there maybe a couple of sentences of advice that you'd give to them before they start out in a career of music?
I would say just ask yourself if you could live without it. And if the answer is no, then you should live for it, you know? And then, you know, it's okay to mess up, and you will a bunch of times until you get, you know, kind of okay at it, and then you get better at it, and then one day you're good at it, and then someday hopefully you'll be excellent. But, you know, who knows if that day will come. If you just keep trying, you just fight for it every day, and you practice every day, and then just, you know, it's okay. I don't know.
Betty, thank you so much. This was a great talk we had, and this is Betty Fox from Betty. Oh yeah, thanks for doing this.
I really appreciate you giving me your time.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be such a great interview and story on Rocket Night. So we're glad to actually put you up on the website, and very, very impressed with the music that you've done and you know, your ethics and creating it. And, you know, we really want to support the independent artists, that's for sure. So independent artists that are really standing out. So thank you for being a part of the Rocket Night family. And I hope to see you in person soon. I'm sure I'll catch you at a local show. So I know that Charisse just loved your set. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.